Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyabrata. Text number 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In these verses, there's no meter, so I'll just read the Sanskrit verse one time, and then we'll do the word for word. Tatraha va inang devashir hongsa yanena. Pitarang Bhagavantang Hranigarbam Upalabha Manaha Sahasaivo Taigarta Ha Nena Saha Pita Putrabhyam Ava Kitanjalair Upataste. Word for word. Tatra. There. Hava. Certainly. Enam. Him. Devarishi. The great saint nodded. Hansayanena. By the swan carrier. Pitaram. His father. Bhagavantam. Most powerful. Haranyagarbham. Lord Brahma. Upalabhamanaha. Understanding. Sahasa eva. Certainly. Utaya. Having stood up. Ahanena. With paraphernalia for worship. Saha. Accompanied. Pita putrabhyam. By Priyabrat and his father. Svayambhuva Manu. Avahita Anjali. With respect and folded hands. Upataste. Worshipped. Translation. Lord Brahma, the father of Narad Muni, is the supreme person within this universe. As soon as Narad saw the great swan, he could understand that Lord Brahma had arrived. Therefore, he immediately stood up, along with Svayambhuva Manu and his son Priyabrat, whom Narad was instructing. Then they folded their hands and began to worship Lord Brahma with great respect. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the previous verse, Lord Brahma was accompanied by other demigods, but his specific carrier was the great swan. Therefore, as soon as Narada Muni saw the swan, he could understand that his father, Lord Brahma, who is also known as Hiranyagarbha, was arriving. Thus, he immediately stood up with Svayambhuva Manu and his son, Priyabrat, to receive Lord Brahma and offer him respect. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Vitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. So, in this part of the Bhagavatam, the life of Priyabrata Maharaj is being described. So, it was a question put forward, how is it that someone who was so attached to spiritual life like Priyabrat could then become so absorbed in family life, kingly duties, right? It was a quandary. Here we see that Lord Brahma is coming. And he's going to request Priyabrat to take up the responsibility of managing as the king or the emperor. Right? Big responsibility. Which would necessitate that he would enter into household life, etc., 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 etc. So, the question is, how would someone agree to do this? Well, first of all, one of the really important principles in spiritual life is to do things with authority. Right? You act because you've been authorized to act by your superiors, right? That is always the safest path to take. So here we see Swayambhuva Manu, the father of Priyavrat, Narad Muni, Lord Brahma, the father of Narad Muni, you know, coming and requesting him to do something. So that's one thing. If we always act with authority, if we act on the order of superior persons, then we can always be assured of being protected, whatever it is that we may be asked to do. Just like now is the December marathon coming, right? So we may think that the temple compared, well, definitely it's a fact, not that we just think, but definitely the temple is a place of shelter compared to outside. Outside there's so much feverish activity from morning till night by all the persons for sense gratification. Right? From early in the morning, they're catching the train, they're going to work, right? For what? For sense gratification. So they're all Vishayi. 90.9.999%, all Vishayi. So one may think that if I avoid, and certainly it's a fact, if such Vishayi should be avoided, right? It's stated in Shastra. If you see someone's face and they don't have tilak on, then you should go take bath in the Ganga to purify yourself. With all your clothes on, you should just jump in the Ganga. Right? But here we see we're being told, go out. Go out from the temple. Right? Face all the Vishayis. Right? So how is that? In the temple it's safe. All devotees, right? People that come to the temple, at least they're a little bit pious, right? They're coming to Krishna. They might be praying for anything. Help me pass the test. Help me marry my daughter. They may be praying, help my business grow. They may be praying for anything. But they're coming to Krishna. They're praying to Krishna. Therefore, they're pious. So it's safer in the temple, one may think, to preach or carry on any devotional service. But we see the instruction coming from Srila Prabhupada to go out. Right? Go out and face the non-devotees and request them to take to Krishna consciousness by accepting one of these transcendental literatures, the Bhagavad Gita, and offering some amount for that. So this is the order. And actually, by following the order, one will always be protected. Just as Priyabhat Maharaj, he was always protected. Although he was in household life, He was the king, right? By his devotional activities, his consciousness never swayed from the Supreme Lord. Although it's not a very easy thing to go out and face the sense gratifiers and ask them to take the Krishna consciousness, right? That's the last thing on their mind. On their mind is so many things flowing through their mind, thousands of things every moment. But you can be guaranteed becoming Krishna consciousness, not one of the things that's flowing through their mind. So here we are. We're reminding them of Krishna. To take to Krishna consciousness. And because of their situations and the modes of passion and ignorance, being driven by so many desires, they're not very receptive, you can say. But at the same time, Lord Chaitanya, he's residing there within everyone's heart. Sarvasya chaham riti sannivishto smritir gyanam aponam cha. Lord Krishna explains, I am residing there in everyone's heart, and I am giving them knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So even for a moment, they can forget their quest for sense gratification just long enough when they come in contact with the devotee by the arrangement of the Paramatma to take a book. Right? And then Srila Prabhupada says, their material life is mortally wounded. Material life is mortally wounded. You know, on the battlefield, if someone is wounded, generally speaking, if they get a stomach wound, you know, if the bullet goes in here, not much hope. They're mortally wounded. It means from that wound, they're going to die. Right? So Srila Prabhupada says that if they get one of these transcendental literatures and they give a donation, their material life is mortally wounded. Just think about that. Mortally wounded. That means that they are no longer headed towards a hellish condition of life. Their direction is diverted towards the lotus feet of Krishna. Now, how long that will take, when it will happen, that we cannot say. But we know for certain their direction is changed. They're headed in a different direction. Srila Prabhupada was in household life. He had children. He had a family. He had a pharmaceutical business. Right? And one time, during Kartik, he went with his small son to see his Guru Maharaj in Radhakund. Right? So that time there were some other devotees, but Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was specifically speaking to Srila Prabhupada, and he said that now that this temple in Bagh Bazar, the Gaudiya Mutt had opened a very gorgeous temple in Bagh Bazar, marble temple. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was expressing some dissatisfaction because now that there was the big temple, some of the members of the Gaudiya Mutt were quarreling who would sit in what office. Right? So to this, he said, there's a fire in the mutt. There's a fire in the mutt. Losing the goal losing sight of the preaching and becoming concerned with position and who will sit where, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur compared this to a fire. And when there's a fire, what happens? Everything becomes destroyed if there's a fire. So he was saying this is creating a fire in the mutt. Then in the next breath, he tells Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, better to sell the marble in the temple and print books. So later Srila Prabhupada commented that from this I could understand that my Guru Maharaj was very fond of books. And in fact, at that time, in Radhakund, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained to Srila Prabhupada, if you ever get money, print books. So Srila Prabhupada took that instruction and he kept it. He kept it with him and he always meditated how to fulfill that instruction. If you ever get money, print books. Later on, Srila Prabhupada said, I followed that instruction of my Guru Maharaj blind me. I did not know what would be the result. But later I could see. Rather, Srila Prabhupada has said that whatever advancement you see in the Krishna consciousness movement, whatever you see, if you see lots of devotees coming, if you see big temple in ISKCON, so many big temples are there in India. Now there's a big temple coming up in Moscow. Right? Before, the devotees were thrown in jail for chanting Hare Krishna. And now there's a Hare Krishna temple, big temple, coming up. How is it possible? Srila Prabhupada explains how it's possible by the sale and distribution of these books. Whatever advancement. So that's true in the preaching sense, but it's also true in an individual sense, internally, our own development in Krishna consciousness. Right? To be able to think about others' benefit. Right? Generally, a person who cares for others is considered magnanimous, philanthropic, humanitarian, a good person who thinks for others. Right? We see that very rich men later, when they have all this wealth, they do things to help others. In the olden times, there were many industrialists who later on opened up libraries, Carnegie, Vanderbilt. Right? These were American industrialists in the 20s and the 30s. But they did a lot of social welfare work when they became very... after they were very rich and famous. And even more recently, one of the richest men in the world, Bill Gates from Microsoft, he has a program to help stop the AIDS epidemic, HIV epidemic, right? So such persons are considered praiseworthy because they're ready to help other people. But we understand that this is only so-called humanitarian work. It's good work, no doubt, but it's not the ultimate benefit of life. The ultimate benefit of life is to show people how, although they have a material body, which is the source of all difficulties, the source of our suffering, how to not have to return again back to this material world. This is the real humanitarian work. So for those devotees understanding the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who follow the servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and go out and try to offer the conditioned souls this opportunity to return home, back to Godhead, they can make very quick advancement. They can become quickly recognized by Lord Chaitanya. And that's the goal of devotional service, is to be recognized by Krishna. Krishna is, he doesn't need anything. Krishna is completely self-sufficient. Huh? He doesn't need anything. But he agrees to accept our service, right? When the pure devotee puts us forward. Right? Srila Prabhupada used to say, Krishna doesn't need your puris. Right? He has Radharani cooking for him. What can we cook? Right? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that unless you're chanting 64 rounds, Krishna will not eat from your hand. Right? Krishna will not eat from your hand. So there has to be a consciousness. Right? Devotional service is a cultivation of consciousness. Right? Not that we just do something, ding, ding, dong, dong, ding, ding, and Krishna has to accept. He's not bound to accept. Right? But he is bound to accept a devotee's love. He was bound by the rope on his belly. Why? Because of the love of Mother Yashoda. That love he could not resist. He couldn't get free from that. He's bound up by that, devotee's love. Pure devotional service, a very, very rare thing. But yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it easily available through his Sankirtan movement, through chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. There has to be a quality of that chanting. The chanting has to be a certain quality for it to be effective. There's different stages of chanting. Namaparad, Namabhas, Shutnam. Right? If you chant with offenses, you have one destination. If you chant Namabhas, another destination. And if you chant Shutnam, another destination. So the destination from offensive chanting is you'll get to the heavenly planets. And we all know that that's not our desired goal. Because you may go very up high in the heavenly planets, and then after some time you have to come back down again. So it's not wanted. Namabhas, one may get liberation to merge into to the Brahma Jyoti. And for a devotee, that's considered a hellish existence. Right? Because one identity as the eternal servant of Krishna is not prominent then. But by Shudnam, the pure chanting of the holy name of the Lord, one can go to the spiritual world, where one is free to interact with Krishna in various ways, in his various forms. So, why is Srila Prabhupada emphasizing to all of his followers to try to distribute books? That we have to try to understand. Why? Because he wants a very big BBT? Once a big building where it says the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust founder Acharya? No. It's a very personal instruction to all of us to make advancement in the ultimate goal of loving Krishna. Right? Radharani, you see, she's always pushing forward the other gopis to serve Krishna. Right? She's always giving them encouragement to serve Krishna. Right? That's the mood of the gopis. Right? So this book distribution, we're going out to encourage people to serve Krishna, to engage in Krishna's service, to begin their spiritual life, to finish their material existence. And that is in the mood of the gopis. Right? That is the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this preaching, this Sankirtan movement, is to bring us to the highest perfection. You know, you can go to Vaikuntha, but there are certain places of Vaikuntha where the devotees, they never even see Lord Vishnu. They hear about him, they talk about him, but they never really interact with him in certain places in Vaikuntha. So, Ranganath Das Goswami, he says to his mind, he prays to my mind, his mind, I also pray to my mind, but something else. He prays to his mind, don't even think of going to Vaikuntha. No, 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 no Vaikuntha. Only Krishna Loka. Because there the devotees are all interacting with Krishna in so many different ways. You may be a blade of grass, but Krishna will come along and walk on your head. His cows. Right? No lack guide. And they'll come and they'll walk on your head. Right? So for the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they want to go to Krishna Loka. And Srila Prabhupada has given us the program. He's given us the process whereby which we can become purified. Of course, it's the holy name. The holy name is the process. Right? Only by chanting. But how to get that quality of chanting that we want? We have to work on it. Right? By focusing. First of all, if we don't complete our 16 rounds, who are we trying to kid? Right? You may be making garlands, or cooking, or artiks, but if you're not chanting your 16 rounds, come on. Let's be honest. Is Krishna accepting our service? No. Face it. So first thing is to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then the second thing is to try to focus on the chanting, to actually hear it, to actually hear the holy name. I was reading the book of Bhurijan Prabhu, Japa, and he suggests that we just try to hear one mantra at a time. There's so many things come in the mind. I got to finish my 16 rounds. I got to do 5-minute rounds or 7-minute rounds. Or I'm trying to get my rounds done in 2 hours or an hour and a half. So many things. But these kind of thoughts only distract us from the goal, which is to hear the holy name. So his suggestion is just try to hear one mantra at a time. And undoubtedly the mind will go in so many different directions, take us here and there. But our success is if we try to bring the mind back to just hearing that one holy name. And if we're successful to hear the holy name in all of its glories and all of its wonders, even once, then we're successful. the support that we need to hear the holy name nicely is given to us by Srila Prabhupada, and that is preaching, the preaching effort. That is in the mood of the gopis to go out, to meet people, to request them to take the book. Srila Prabhupada said, whether they take or they do not take, that's not our business. Simply to make the endeavor, that will purify us. The rest is up to Lord Chaitanya. He's within their heart. They're pushed around by the modes of ignorance and passion every moment. Everybody thinks that they're free and independent, but actually, if a person's drowning in the ocean, what is their independence? They're tossed by this wave and that wave. In the same way, the so-called independent persons in Bombay, they're attracted by this billboard and that billboard and noise and so many different things that are just like waves of Maya, tossing them here and there. No one's independent. Everyone's tightly under grips of Maya, including all of us. But we have one advantage. We're chanting Hare Krishna. So there's a struggle. Who's going to get our attention, Maya or Krishna? But who's more powerful? Krishna's more powerful. Can Maya stand in front of Krishna? Not even for a second. In front of Krishna, she becomes very timid. You know? Like a village lady, right? Bombay ladies are something else, right? But in the village, if men come forward, what happens, Asim? They cover their head. They stand to the back. Is it not? Right? So Maya, she has weapons, swords, arrows, shields. She rides a tiger. How powerful! But in front of Krishna, she's very timid. She covers her head. She stands in the back. So Srila Prabhupada said, if we always keep ourselves fixed up with Krishna, then we don't have to fear Maya. We'll always be protected. If there's cold, freezing cold weather, if you stand next to the fire, you don't have to worry about the cold. So we're in this tussle. Maya, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. If we just continue to chant, Srila Prabhupada said, Maya will take to the back. Krishna will conquer. And what will he conquer? Krishna will conquer our hearts. Krishna will conquer our consciousness. And we won't be able to live without Krishna. We won't be able to think of anything but Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But the thing to help us, that process to help us get to that point, is this Sankirtan. The distribution of Srila Prabhupada's transcendental literatures that will very quickly let us be recognized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he'll put our case before Lord Krishna and clean our hearts, just like the cleansing of the Gundicha Marjanam, and make it a suitable place for Krishna to come and sit. So, as Priyabhat Maharaj performed his duty and was not bewildered by so many different attractions but became fixed, also Maharaj Ambarish was emperor of the whole world, but always he kept his mind fixed up on the lotus feet of Krishna, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. In the same way, we should always pray to be able to perform our duties and at the same time to always keep our mind fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Microphone?
Hare Krishna. My question about Sankirtan. Before, he was many years in Sankirtan department, leader also, and travel in bus, Sankirtan bus also. Many years, I heard. But nowadays, devotee is not interested for traveling in Sankirtan bus. Before, at that time, in Sankirtan department, about 40 or 50 devotees were there standing. Everyone enthusiastically they are distributing books. But nowadays, no enthusiasm.
I wouldn't say there's no enthusiasm. There's some enthusiasm. Otherwise, I don't know. There was a mood. Maybe it was by the mercy of the senior devotees that aren't here anymore, like Girad Swami and Sridhar Swami. They were always encouraging me and the devotees to, because they heard from Srila Prabhupada how important it was to go out and preach Krishna consciousness by distributing books. Maybe that's the reason. I'm not sure. But the fact still remains that's our main program. That's our main program, Srila Prabhupada said. Even life membership, Srila Prabhupada explained, I started life membership just to distribute my books. The devotees who have a taste for going out and traveling in the bus, this is real brahmachari life. You're at a different place every day, right? Like the six Goswamis in Vrindavan, living under a different tree every night. So there's a certain taste that's there by traveling with other brahmacharis and distributing books. It's a nectar, right? It's actually the highest nectar, right? And those devotees that have engaged in those activities, they remember that as the highlight of their Krishna consciousness, right? There's one story about a zamindar. The zamindar had some workers that would work the fields, and they would always go away. So he was talking to one other zamindar, and he told them, he was explaining his difficulty that the workers would always go away. And he had so many fields planting rice and needed workers. So he said that what you do is you feed them basmati rice and gaur ghee. It means gai ghee, cow's ghee. So gaur ghee and basmati rice, you give your workers and that'll solve the whole problem. So he took his friend's advice and he started feeding all the laborers that worked in the fields basmati rice and gaur ghee. One day they were working kind of slow, and he chastised them. Hey, get out there, work. So they said, why will we work for this guy? He's too heavy. We'll go. So they left. They went to some other zamindar and started the work. But when they were working for the other zamindar, they were always remembering basmati rice and gaur ghee. Right? So after some time, they came back to that zamindar and said, we'll work for you. Right? So in the same way, this nicest thing, there may be so many difficulties, and you have to fight with police, fight with public, so many problems, right? But there's a nectar there. Traveling and preaching, there's a nectar. It's the highest nectar. It's what the Paramahansas do, the Pribrajakacharyas do, right? And it's available even for a new brahmachari if he wants to take it. It's a matter of if we take it. It's open. You can take it if you want. You can experience the nectar. It's available. You just have to take it. All right? Yes?
Hare Krishna.
You are saying that we should help the devotees, give the books and do the chanting. So sometimes the devotees are disturbed and they cannot chant or cannot distribute books. So what we should do?
What are they disturbed about?
Sometimes they cannot chant properly. They are not interested in chanting, or sometimes they are disturbed in different types.
Certainly there will be, you know, the mind has had its way for so many lifetimes. And now, when we become devotees, we're saying that no longer the mind will be in control. We're handing the control over to Krishna. So the mind objects. In so many different cunning ways, the mind will make excuses for not taking the Krishna consciousness and not chanting. Right? But Srila Prabhupada explains, if we just go on chanting, ignoring the mind, right? It's like if you have a kid in the house, it's always whining. After a while, always crying kid, you learn how to ignore him, right? So we have to ignore the rascal mind and continue to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. If we take the excuse that, well, I'm not attracted by chanting, my mind is too heavy, so I won't chant, that's the wrong conclusion. Undoubtedly, the mind is very heavy, but our conclusion should be, let me continue to chant. When Krishna sees that even though the devotee struggles with mind and senses, but to continues to chant, that Krishna will come and help that devotee. It's a matter of being determined. Gradually, Krishna will win, there's no doubt. In this match, just like Krishna killed all the demons, Putana, right? And so many other demons, Agasu, Krishna will win. Krishna will kill the demons of the doubts that we have. Right? That the suggestions of the mind that we'll be happy by sense gratification, we'll be happy by anything other than Krishna. Krishna will conquer over all those ideas and doubts. Simply, we have to continue to chant. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna. Thanks a lot, Prabhuji. You emphasize about that book distribution. I'm distributing books every month. I'm distributing 1,000 and 1,200 something. So across India in different places, Delhi, Mumbai and Orissa. So I met one proper disciple in Jagannath Puri. So he told that unless and until you are not by hearted all the verses just like Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavad Gita, so you can't qualify to distribute books. And same thing happened in Delhi, Rathatra, I was also distributing. One Prabhuji also told me. And I was on a train, I was going from Mumbai to Vrindavan. So Mathura, one devotee also told same thing. So do you think that it's very, very, very important to, I have to buy all these things, then only I can distribute books? Because simultaneously, I'm having, every day I'm having some, making some different plans. How to distribute books, where to distribute books. So one thing, then distributing books and to guide my, I'm having poor guides also.
Well, you know, the both things are there. We certainly have to study Srila Prabhupada's books. I was in a class in 1974. This was the first Mayapur festival. And Srila Prabhupada was speaking from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And right in the middle of the class, he said that, you know, these books are not just for selling. They're also for reading. And he said it very emphatically. And he said, why am I taking so much trouble? Books are not just for selling, they're also for reading. You know, Prabhupada would get up at, take rest at 9, get up at 12 o'clock. And when all the other devotees were sleeping from midnight till 4 in the morning, he would translate Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was taking so much trouble at his old age. But that was the good time when everything was quiet, when he could focus and translate and write the Bhaktivedanta purports. So he said, why am I taking so much trouble? He wrote his books. He was enthusiastic to write the books for the devotees, to read them. So the books are not just for selling, they're also for reading. We sell the books, we read the books, we follow what's in them. That makes the perfect formula. Distribute, read, and follow what's in the books. It's not that you have to memorize everything. We're not the International Society for Memorizing Things, you know. But we should read, and we should try to understand, and we should try to hear in the class. And that way, we'll solidify that in our hearts and consciousness, so that when we come into various situations, we'll deal with that situation in an appropriate manner. We'll do the right thing. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitaya Gaur Premanandi.